nanohub.org.
Online simulation and more for nanotechnology.
Yes, so my background, actually, my past work was, has always been on chaos, on classical chaos, mainly on quantum chaos. And since a few years, actually it was maybe 3 years ago, that in an airport in Singapore, I met Arun Majumdar, and he told me about thermoelectricity. I knew completely nothing, ZT, thermoelectricity, these things. And so I asked, well, what is this? And so from that time, I started to look, and the idea is to apply what we know about dynamical system to this problem. So I'm not an expert in this field, so I'm a newcomer. So, but at least I would like to try to tell what is our view, what we are trying to do in this direction, which I think is very important. So, certainly there is an important issue in physics is to understand what are the limits that thermodynamics imposes of the efficiency of thermal machine. This is one important question, as you know, because it's becoming more and more important in the future society. And, well, certainly, well, if you think in this problem, there is a cornerstone result, which everybody you know, which go back to almost 200 years ago. And we go back to Sadi Carnot, who in 1924, he proposed the following, that in a cycle between two reservoirs at temperature T1 and T2, in which T1 is larger than T2, the efficiency is bounded by the so-called Carnot efficiency, eta C. So efficiency is the ratio of the output power divided the heat extracted from the hot reservoir. And this quantity is bounded by this Carnot efficiency, which is 1 minus T2 divided T1. Okay? But then, as you know, this result of Carnot is obtained for a quasi-static transformation, which require infinite time. And then in this limit, the power go to zero. So this is not much help because you have very good efficiency, but zero power. So more recently, another concept, instead of thinking about the maximum efficiency, perhaps it is more useful to think about efficiency at maximum power. And also for the efficiency and maximum power, there is a bound, which is obtained much more recently. It is called Curzon-Albor limit. This is some controversial, but this limit get the name of these two guys. And also the range of validity of this limit is under discussion. And I will come back to this. But anyway, this is the bound for the efficiency at maximum power. So this is how I'm going to discuss this in for thermoelectric phenomena, power generation and refrigeration. But before doing this, I would like to make a couple of comments about related questions. The first comment is the following. Is it possible that we can control the heat current as we do with the electrical current? We can build electrical diode. The question is, can we do the same with heat current, with thermal? So the answer is yes, and I don't enter to explain the detail, but I just want to give you an idea. Then if you want to discuss, I'm here, but just to give you an idea what is happening. So suppose you take a nonlinear system. So it's a system of particles which interacting, and there is also some nonlinear on-site potential. So this is a particular example of a nonlinear potential. It's a Morse potential, but it doesn't matter. It is not crucial. It's just necessary to be nonlinear. So this is your Hamiltonian system. And then you put in contact with two baths, hot bath and cold bath. Then you will see that heat goes from hot to cold. You have some current, and typically there are some discussions, which I do not want to enter, but typically this heat current obey Fourier law. Now, if on the other hand, if he introduce, there are two concepts in order to have possibility to obtain rectification of heat flux. There are two main ingredients. One is nonlinearity, and the other is asymmetry. So you have to have a nonlinear system and to introduce non-symmetric. So for example, you can divide this chain in three parts, in which you put alpha control the different nonlinearities. You have different also coefficient here. Then, in this case, what you have? You have a nonlinear system and you have non-symmetric system. Then in this case, it is possible to build, it will work like a thermal duct in the sense that heat go more likely in one direction than in the opposite one. It always go from hot to cold, yeah? So I'm not saying nothing strange. It goes from hot to cold, but in one case it goes, in the other case it doesn't, or it does with less, the current is less. The idea is very simple. It is because, you see, you may think of this system. Suppose you take this system, you remove Bath, and you consider the system in the linear approximation. Okay? So if you do in the linear approximation, then the system, they are plane wave solution, which are this, which they obey some dispersion relation. So we have some bend. Now, it is clear that if you change parameter alpha and d, you change position of the band, and so you can do this in such a way that in the first part this is the position of the band, then the second part is this, the third part is this. So you see the wave then can travel. They must satisfy all dispersion relation here. So in this case, only a fraction of wave will travel. So you can work according to this idea. I'm telling you the idea, why it works. Yeah? The detail, if you want, they are written in this paper where we first proposed this possibility to have a thermal diode. So, for example, if you divide in three parts and you make the first segment and the third segment harmonic, then, for example, in this case, if you put hot and the middle part, you take a nonlinear material. Then if you put hot here and cold here, then the band here, conductional band, will be this one. If you interchange, the conduction band will be this one, hot and cold. So in this case, heat current will be larger than in this case. So you go in the direction to build a diode. This is in theory. In practice, it's not so well because, you see, these are the two different situations. So in the first case, in which here is cold and here is hot, this is the temperature profile, and the current here, you see, is larger than when you put hot here and cold here, as you can predict. So in this case, the rectification is present, it's not very large, but then you can change system, you can work, improve parameter, and I mean, you can study this, and you can build very efficient diode in theory. You can reach a rectification factor of 100 and so on, and this can be done. So this is the idea how it can work. So physics allow the possibility to build thermal diode. Another point, well, I don't know whether to see, you can even build a transistor, because you can have a situation in which you have negative differential conductivity in the following sense, as it happens here. Suppose you fix the temperature to the left and to the right. You have such a system. And so you fix temperature to the right, this one. And then in this picture, you show the current as a function of the temperature of the left butt. So when the left butt temperature is equal to TR, the current is zero because it's the same temperature. But when you decrease this temperature, it means that you increase the thermal gradient, and you expect that when you increase the thermal gradient, the current increase, according to Fourier law. And indeed, the current increase because thermal gradient increase by decreasing this temperature. But then, you arrive to a maximum. When you still decrease this temperature, which means you increase thermal gradient, then the current starts decreasing. You see? So this is a region in which you have negative differential conductivity. Why this? Because there is a competition between the fact that the current increases if you increase the thermal gradient, but also it depends whether of the good or bad overlap of the band. If you increase the thermal gradient, but the band become less well overlapped, then the current may decrease, even if you increase the gradient. And this is what's happening here. So in principle, there are possibility to play on this and then to build such thermal device, in principle. There are few experiments. I can quote you a couple of these. One, which is the first one I know, is due to the group of Majumdar in Berkeley. Now I cannot even reach him by mail because I heard that he has some position and I don't know. But what they've done at this time, 5 years ago, is that they use nanotubes, carbon nanotubes, and they introduce a symmetry by putting some mass, non-uniform mass on a distribution here on the nanotube. And in the experiment they made, they observed that if the mass distribution is uniform, then thermal conduction is symmetric in both. It doesn't matter what you change hot and cold. Obviously, it's the same. But if there is a mass loading, that higher thermal conductance was observed when heat flow from higher region to the mass region, then vice versa. So this is a first experimental demonstration. So this is the nanotube here. And this is a uniform situation, and this is the nanotube with mass homogeneity. Well, I have to say that rectification factor here is very small. So there is a phenomenon, but it's quite small in this experiment. And so I don't know other. Then there is other experiment which Terasaki in made in Waseda told me, but this they have large rectification. In this, but again, I don't want to enter this. It's just to give the message that it is possible to control the heat current. So, and there is an intense field of research at this from theoretical point of view, when you have Fourier law, when you have anomalous conductivity, ballistic transport, and so on. So there is a lot of work in this direction. So another comment I want to make is the following. Not only it is possible to rectify heat current, but also it is possible to rectify wave. To have a wave rectifier. And again, the mechanism is the same. In order to have this, you need both nonlinearity and asymmetry. If one of these two properties lacking, then it will not work. So you need both things. And we have shown this by using a layered photonic crystal in which you have a nonlinear, non-symmetric crystal here, which is embedded in otherwise linear element. And this nonlinear is described by the discrete nonlinear Schrödinger equation in which the coefficient Vn, they change with position in order to have a symmetry. So if you take this system and solve this system, then you can see that because of property of nonlinearity and asymmetry, that a wave coming from the left can go through. If it comes from the right, it's reflected back. So you create a diode, and this is a demonstration of this. So this is position in space. This is time. So you see, this is a wave packet coming from the left. It arrives in the nonlinear material, this interaction region, and then most of the wave packet is transmitted. But if the packet the same, but you make the packet coming from the right, it comes there, some is transmitted, but most of the packet is reflected back. So you see, you have the same material, and the wave can go through or reflect it, depending whether it comes from the left or comes from the right. So this is just some recent work we have done, and to show that it's also possible to make such rectifier, which I think it will be interesting to have some experiment on this. We don't know how, but if we would like to see somehow some experimental evidence of this, which is possible actually. Okay, so let's go to this. So I put the picture of Alessandro Volta because his site is from my own city in Como. He lived there and born there, and so we discovered the Volta effect, in which you take two metal at the same temperature, then you see a difference of potential. Yeah? You study in the first year of university. But then, 20 years later, this Estonian German physicist, John Seebeck, discovered what is called the... Well, I'm sorry, here maybe you are expert, so I'm telling things that you already know very well, but sorry, maybe someone doesn't know. So he discovered the Seebeck effect. The Seebeck effect, it tells you that if you take two different metals at different temperature and you close the circuit, then a current generates. So this Seebeck effect remains practically not... By the way, this is Alessandro Volta, And this is Napoleon in 800. So it is interesting to me because at this time, this was the most powerful man in the world. And he wanted to understand how a simple scientific device was working, which it is remarkable. Now probably it will not happen. Yeah, it is. So he took Volta, he took the horse and crossed the Alps and go to Paris to show to Napoleon. And actually Napoleon, he was 30 years old at this time. It was in 800. So he was 30.
Our university presidents don't care anymore.
It is remarkable that this, he wanted to know. At this time, you know, the battery, nobody was no, not important. It was just a toy, you know. Nobody thought that in the future would become important. So, as I said, this discovery of Seebeck effect remained practically not interest to physics community until 1950, when semiconductors were discovered, and then it was hope that it was possible to make maybe a home refrigerator using solid-state device and so on. So there was, during these 4 years, there was some study about this thermoelectric phenomena, but then after this, thermoelectricity received little attention from the scientific community. Still, the thermoelectric industry grew in some particular application like space missions, laboratory experiment, and medical applications, where cost is not important, but it is important to have reliability. So there are this, but probably all this you know. So there are all people expert in the field. I don't know. This is some application, but let me forget about this. Okay, so, here you have this 4 quantity, which is the electrical conductivity, the Seebeck coefficient, the thermal conductivity, and the absolute temperature. And as you know, there is only one combination of this quantity which gives a pure number, and this pure number is, this is a combination, and this pure number is called Zt. And this number is determined both, at least in the linear response theory. Yeah, this is not in the linear response. Yeah, the linear approximation. It determines both the maximum efficiency and the efficiency at maximum power. And these are the relations. So the maximum efficiency is the Carnot multiply a function of Zt, of this pure number, and the efficiency at maximum power, omega max, is Carnot divided 2 multiply this quantity. So you see in both cases, the maximum is reached when Zt goes to infinite. So when Zt is equal to 0 is 0, when Zt goes to infinite, both quantities, this tend to the maximum efficiency, and this tend to the Carnot divided 2, which is the Curzon-Albor limit, is the maximum efficiency, is efficiency and maximum power. Okay. So this in linear response regime. And this is the efficiency as a function of zeta t, you see it increase and as you know, the difficulty is how to increase Zt. Because this coefficient C, Mach A, and S, they are intercorrelated. And if you increase one, you increase also the other. So it is difficult to find the way to increase Zt. And this is what I will try to discuss, at least to see what is our approach to try to increase this number. So, okay. So we start from the linear response theory. And you can write the energy current and the particle current or the electric current, which is the same, as a function of the external applied gradient. So there is a gradient of temperature and gradient of chemical potential. And these coefficients are L, I, J, are what are called the Onsager coefficient. There is the Onsager relation that L, U, rho is equal to L, rho, U. So if you can compute these 4 coefficients, you can get the transport coefficient, you can get Zt. So, indeed, just to be precise, if you know the Onsager matrix element, these are sigma, k, and s, and then you get this pure number Zt is this one. Now, What to do? What should we do? Well, first, we must inquire whether or not thermodynamics impose bound on this quantity. Because in principle, the thermodynamics can impose some bound. We need this number large, but so what are the restrictions imposed by thermodynamics? Well, it is not much, because the only thermodynamic restrictions to the Onsager coefficients come from the positivity of the entropy production, which is a quadratic form in this generalized force, the gradient of chemical potential and temperature. So basically, the only restriction which comes from thermodynamics is that the determinant of the Onsager matrix must be positive. And this means that since the determinant is positive, this is a square. So the only restriction is that ZT must be positive, larger than zero. Okay? You say, okay, good. But now we want this number large. We want to be as large as possible. What to do? So thermodynamics does impose a restriction. Well, looking at this formula, you see, it's very easy. Well, if I can get this denominator going to zero, then that will be large. But when the denominator goes to zero, it means that there is a degenerate situation, in which so these are the equation. If the determinant go to zero, it means that these two equations become one equation. It means that the energy current is proportional to the particle current, and they are both independent of the applied gradients. So this would be the ideal situation to obtain large efficiency or large thermoelectric power. So more precisely, ZT diverges if and only if the Onsager matrix is ill-conditioned. That is the condition number. This diverges. Yeah, so the trace L squared divided determinant must diverge. So in such a case, the system has become singular and the energy current becomes proportional to the particle current. Okay, so this is what we know on the general aspect, and now since we are people working in dynamical system and we want to understand, so what to do? Our first idea, maybe trivial, is to look at the dynamical system that everybody of us has in mind, you know, which is standard, is the Lorentz gas. The Lorentz gas is you have a fixed scatterer, circular scatterer, fixed circle, and the particle bouncing elastically inside. This is a dynamical system which is very well known. It is ergodic and mixing. It is chaotic. It is studied in all books of statistical mechanics. I mean, so we ask ourselves, okay, so let us take such a system, put two thermal, one bath from the left, one bath from the right, a different temperature and different chemical potential, and let us compute ZT. It is, well, an exercise, a curiosity. What would be ZT? Okay, you can do this. You can, in this case, actually, since the system is simple, you can solve everything analytically. And you can compute ZT. It turns out that ZT equal 1.5. Well, this is not small, but also not large. And, I tell you, at the beginning, when I heard about this. This, my first idea was to look at this, and then I say, okay, this is 1.5. Now, how can I increase? So I try all the modification. Playing, you know, with every single parameter, I moved the sphere, I made a lot of modification, and everything I've done lead to ZT decreases, never increase, always decreases. So what? Why first? Why? So this is the point, we still open question, what should we do in order to increase ZT, at least from the theoretical point of view? I don't mean from point of view of experiment, but at least from the theoretical point. Well, there is one way. Look, if you think, you need to, for example, you may think in the following way. I need ZT to increase. I need to have the energy current proportional to the particle current. Then there is a way to do this.
I mean, for the beginning, how did the system will change the number? What
good question. So if you go in one dimension, ZT equal 1, you can compute the number. If you go to three dimensions, ZT equal 2. And this 1.5 in two dimensions, that's all. Yeah. But this case, for this last simple case, you can do analytically.
So in this gas, what are the particles representing?
No, 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 this is, sorry, this, I'm not, this are just, this is just an abstract model. It represents nothing. It's just, it's a dynamical model in which I have a fixed sphere and have a particle bouncing elastically. And then this, I give answers to this model. So, practically, I don't know.
It scatters the electron?
Elastically. It's particle. No, this is a particle, but it's the same. Yeah, it's a particle which scatters elastically. It's a mechanical model. So you have fixed disk, and the particle is like a billiard.
Okay,
so it's a billiard type model.
Those particles can represent any energy?
Yeah, particles carry energy, it's kinetic energy. Mm-hmm. And they compute, heat current, but heat current is the kinetic energy. Yes?
The particle also has charge.
In this case, no. In the model I made here, they have no charge. Yes?
What kind of material can give you elastic scattering?
Excuse me?
What kind of material can give you elastic scattering?
Well, I don't know. Well, the potential is sufficiently hardcore. I mean, it's. Yeah. Well, look, I'm not solving. I understand that I'm not solving your problems. I'm just looking. I'm just looking at this question from point of view of theoretical physicist, not mathematical, because it's not mathematics, but. Because my first worry is to try to understand what should I do in order to have at least an abstract model in which ZT is large. I cannot even answer to this question, you see. So it's...
There's some sort of analogy. You can say, I have one reservoir, another reservoir, one of them hotter.
Yes.
And looking at how much actual particles go from right to left.
Yes.
That's a current. But I also can compute the energy.
Energy, yes.
And you can define
Z. This is what I'm doing, but probably I understood the asking question about more practical question like this. I don't know. This is what I do here. I compute the particle current and the energy current. And then this is what I do actually. In order to compute on Zagar matrix element, you have to do this. So this is an abstract model. But in this case, ZT is equal to 1.5 or 2 in 3 dimension and so on. But for example, even if I remain in this frame, how is possible to have even larger ZT? So, for example. So I think, well, I need to make the energy current proportional to the particle current. Is it possible? Well, there is one way. It's not very good. You certainly not like. But there is one way. Is this one? This is what I'm thinking. So, suppose I write the instantaneous energy current and particle current. So the instantaneous particle current is just the velocity along x. Well, this I put multiply the electron charge, but it doesn't matter. I mean, and the instantaneous energy current is vx multiplied energy. Now when the thermodynamic average energy current will become proportional to the particle. So the energy is just the average of the energy current is the average of Ju, which is the average of this. And suppose that velocity and energy are uncorrelated, then the average of the product is equal to the product of the average. And in such a situation, it becomes that the energy current becomes proportional to the particle current. So Ju become proportional to J rho, which means ZT going to infinity, when energy and velocity are decorrelated. Well, I know that, but this, in theory, it works. Yeah. So let me do this. So how can I make uncorrelate? Well, I can do this. Instead of putting a particle, I put a molecule. So if I take a molecule with several internal degrees of freedom, which move and scatter, then it happens that the energy goes, if the system is statistical, we say technically ergodic mixing, so it means that it leads to, is chaotic, yeah, which it is in this case. So there is equipartition of energy inside the degrees of freedom of the molecule, and in this case, the energy current becomes proportional to the particle current. Indeed, you can see. So, the distribution of particle velocity is always Maxwellian, as you expect. But if you look at the distribution of energy per degrees of freedom in the molecule, so this is the dimension 3, Decrease of freedom of the molecule, 3, 13, 43. You see, it becomes more and more concentrated around a given value. So it means that in this case, the energy current becomes proportional to the particle current. And doing this, you can indeed, you can compute even analytically in this case, and you can get, this is the result. So this is ZT as a function of the total number of degrees of freedom, D. So, you can do analytically, you can predict a theory which is increased linearly with the number of freedoms, and this green point are result of numerical computation. Numerical computation means I take really my system, I take a system, a molecule, I put the bath, and I numerically compute the current and the particle, I compute ZT numerically. And you see there is a good agreement between numerical result and the theory. So in this case I can get a large ZT. But it is, I understand it is abstract model, but it just is a way to realize a situation in which the energy current is proportional to the particle current.
So I just didn't understand. So the way it works is that instead of energy being in the kinetic component, it's in the internal degrees of
yes,
freedom.
Yes. And this is why it becomes independent on the gradient. But, well, this is, again, is like a toy. You cannot use this. Why? Because you cannot extract practically energy from the internal degrees of freedom. But it just helps to understanding, is a little step. We are proceeding by little step, to have a better understanding. Okay.
When you talk about internal degrees of freedom, they're not really real. You talk about collection of Hall spheres.
No, I can take like a molecule.
I mean, what's the degrees of freedom? Vibration, rotation?
Oh, yeah, all, yeah. In my case, just to tell you how I did.
No, in your case, it's just a collection of Hall spheres.
No, I take a sequence of disks with different masses, which collide with fixed disks. Okay. So in this case, I can have a molecule.
No, I understand what you're doing.
Yeah, it's... Okay, but so for non-interacting system, what we can say in more general terms? Let us ask this question. Yeah, I'm thinking about classical mechanics. I want to understand even from the point of view of classical mechanics. Look, so this you are familiar with this. I write the particle current as a difference of current from the left, right, left to right, right to left, and this gamma L is the injection rate from the left reservoir. This is injection rate from the right reservoir. Tau epsilon is the transmission probability of, as a function of epsilon for a particle to go from one end to the other. This is tau. And this UL is the energy distribution of particle coming from left reservoir, the distribution in energy. And this is distribution in energy from particle coming to the right. So this is just expression for the particle current, okay? Then I assume Maxwell-Boltzmann distribution for particle in the bath, which is this is Maxwell-Boltzmann. These are injection rate, and then I can rewrite particle current in this way. This is standard things, and then in the same way you can write the heat current. Now, when you have since you have the particle current, the heat current, you can define efficiency. You can define efficiency as a work. Divided the current from the left bath, which is assumed to be at higher temperature. And then I get this expression. So this expression of efficiency. Now you can make the following observation. It is just an observation. That if I take transmission probability as an arrow, I suppose the transmission is possible only inside a teeny energy window of near epsilon star, then this expression simplifies and becomes simply this. Then, if I take this expression for efficiency and I try to maximize, I maximize again in the limit when the particle current goes to zero, which corresponds to reversible transport. It is the situation in which I expect maximum efficiency, and then indeed I get this efficiency, which is Carnot. So, for a system of non-interacting particles, actually this result in quantum system was already proposed by Mann and Humphrey, you know, years ago. But this is a classical description, is a classical demonstration how things works, that this, for non-interacting system, indeed this, you can read this maximum efficiency by putting a mechanism of filtering in energy. So in this way, you can get large efficiency. And actually, when we do numeric, we call experiments. They are, we call numerical experiments. For example, in this case, there are no baths. This is just a temperature, hot wall and the cold wall. You have a system, two boxes, which are connected by two channels. Yeah. If these two channels are the same, then there will be no current. There will be just a temperature gradient. Yeah. The top down number of particles is fixed. Is a gas. I put a gas inside. Yeah. And nothing happens. But if I put here some potential in such a way that some barrier, such a way the particle with energy less than something will go back from both sides, they are reflected back. And only particle with larger energy can go from one side to the other. And then here is somehow I filter out particle with low energy, here I filter particle with high energy or vice versa. Then in this case, this is possible to show that this engine, it works. It can have large efficiency depending on the parameter. Well, I don't want you to follow this detail, but here we plot the power and the efficiency depending on the parameter of the potential we put. But I just want to say that this is an example of non-interacting system in which you put some kind of filtering. And you can basically, at least classically, you can realize this. It's like two classical dots. Yeah. And this, it works like an engine. It can have large efficiency. And you understand why? Because it's according to the mechanism I explained before. And this is indeed working. Okay, but this is for interacting. Then you say, okay, now I want to say when I have a real interacting system, what will happen? Okay, so as again, I take the simplest possible system because I don't know how to solve complicated. So already here I don't have a solution. So the system here is very simple. It is one dimensional system of particle. So it's a billiard in one dimension. So I have one dimension. I have particle which collides elastically. The only point is that particle are two species. They have two different mass M and mass capital M. Okay, so this is one-dimensional interacting system. Okay? Then I can, if the mass are the same, it's like the system before, Zt is equal 1. But if the mass are different, what happens? So it turns out that the Zt, in this case, it increases with the size of the sample, n, with some power alpha. This is an empirical result, and this is the result. So this is Zt, this is the number of particles in the channel, and then Zt increases the power of n. This is a result of numerical computation. So it diverges as the number of particles increases. The point is that here we do not understand why. So for example, this is a simple model, you see. We found that Zt can become very large with the system, but we don't know the reason. We have tried, for example, to see, which you can think also, that maybe the mechanism is the same as for non-interacting system. Maybe it is possible that in the chain, somehow in the middle, there is a kind of automatic energy filtering, which will lead to maximum efficiency. We try to do this, and it is not. So indeed what we do, this is our question. So you can choose a position X inside the sample and compute the particle current as the difference between density of particle crossing X from the left or coming from the right. We try to do this, but you see this is the result we obtain. So this is the energy. This is the distribution of particle with the given energy at some position inside the channel. Then, you see, if you increase the size of the channel from 10 to 40 to 80, this distribution remains the same. It doesn't go to a delta function. So it means that the mechanism for non-interacting system is not working here. So there is a different mechanism for increase of Zt, which we don't know which one. So this, for example, for us, it is an open problem which we would like to solve, but we don't. We don't know at the moment, we don't have solution. You see, but it looks like that numerically it works. So let me skip this thing because of some speculation. And then I come to the last part, which is our most recent work, in which we got an idea, maybe, how to increase the efficiency of this. And again, you see, it's again to break a symmetry. It looks like the breaking symmetry is very important to for such things. And this you can do by introducing a magnetic field in your system. So now what happens? I'm coming to the end, so don't worry. So you can rewrite again the transport coefficient, but now you have a magnetic field B. So now the Onsaga relation, now in this case, they become this one. You see, they are Lijb equal to Lji minus B. So if B is zero, then there's the symmetry. Lji equal Lij. But in this case, not. And indeed, in this case, because of this relation on the Onsager-Casimir relation, you have the electrical conductivity and the thermal conductivity, they are symmetric in B. Because you see the definition, they are the same, yeah? But the Seebeck coefficient, not. So, when you break symmetry, the Seebeck coefficient S of B can be different from S to minus B. So this may be a good thing, maybe something we can play with. Because by changing B, then Seebeck coefficient change. Okay? And what we have found, this again, what we have found is described in this paper last year. We have found that there is a very interesting thing, that the maximum efficiency and the efficiency and maximum power now are determined not by one, but by two parameters. In the sense that you have another parameter, X, and X is the ratio SB divided S to the minus B. In the symmetric case, this ratio is 1, and the quantity Y become reduced to ZT. So you have the standard situation in which efficiency depends only on ZT. Because X is equal 1, Y becomes ZT. But if you have a non-symmetric situation, then X is different from 1, and efficiency now depends on X and Y. So it turns out that you have another parameter, X, with which we can play to increase efficiency. So we don't have now only one parameter is the T, but we have two. So we have much more freedom. So having more freedom, we have the hope that maybe we can have more possibility to increase efficiency playing on this additional parameter. Okay. So I show you only the result in theory. What are the limitations of this parameter? Yeah, due to this. So, what I show here, don't be confused, it's very simple. Here, X, horizontal axis, is the asymmetry parameter X. On the vertical, I plot the efficiency. So, the standard situation, when X equal 1, is the symmetric one, the maximum efficiency is this blue curve, is Carnot, eta divided C is 1, and the red curve is the efficiency of maximum power, is the bound of the efficiency and maximum power, which are given by the Curzon-Albor limit, which is Carnot divided 2 in the linear response. So, for X equal 1, I have Carnot for maximum efficiency and Curzon-Albor for the efficiency and maximum power. But now you see, I can move to the right. I can have an asymmetric situation, and obviously, the maximum efficiency cannot go above Carnot, so this is flat line, it is 1, but the efficiency and maximum power can become much larger than the Curzon-Albor bound. It is no more true. It is no more half of Carnot, but it can be much larger. Not only can be much larger, but at least in theory, in the limit S go to infinite, the efficiency and maximum power, eta star, converge to the maximum efficiency. And moreover, we have that the power at maximum efficiency, it converges to the maximum power. So you can have finite power at Carnot efficiency in linear response. Obviously, yeah? So what are shown here are the maximum value of this, of the efficiency and efficiency and maximum power. Now, which is very different to ask whether really you have. So, in the last transparency, which is the next one, I show this because we try to see whether by breaking this symmetry, what happens? And the situation is not easy, is not simple, and we are working on this, and it's an open problem, and I finish my presentation, because the situation is the following. I said that the SB can be different from S to the minus B, but first, if you take an interacting system, then there is another limitation. It doesn't come from thermodynamics, but it comes from the fact that the symmetry of the scattering matrix. So it imposes that SB is equal to S to the minus B. In spite of this, so here no hope. Then we made accurate, well, I say accurate, but maybe you can do better. We made a numerical simulation of two terminal. We took interacting system. In interacting system, you expect SB different from S to minus B. We try to do this. We violate time reverse asymmetry. We violate asymmetry. We did all we can, and we always found that SB is equal to S to the minus B. And this we don't understand why. So this is an open question, which is, I think, is a somehow crucial question to understand from the theoretical point of view. And we know why we failed. Well, one possibility is that we were unlucky. We have no theory. We tried numerically with breaking symmetry, but all the things we tried, we always find SB equal S to the minus B, while they should be different. So there is no reason why they should be the same. But we find they are the same. So you say, well, then what? what when they are not the same? Well, there are situations to have not the same, but this is, in order to have different, you need to introduce a third but. This is the only way, which is commonly done in solid state physics. It is, you have to introduce a so-called self-consistent third terminal. I mean, you have to introduce a third but through which the particle interact, but the average current and the average energy current is zero. Particle current through this but, so it's self-consistent. But if you do this, then we have done, actually it is done in this recent paper, then you can show that there is a non-symmetric thermopower. So the question now is, which we don't know, this is a question mark, is how to increase this asymmetry X in real situation, or even in theory, even in abstract model. How to increase this asymmetry, and then how to increase the corresponding efficiency or efficiency and maximum power. So this is where you see we don't know much. We are stopped at this point. So this is our paper we have on this. This is on thermal diodes and wave diodes and so on. And these are our contribution to this field of thermoelectric things from our point of view. Okay, I think I can stop here. Thank you.
Time for questions.
I mean, to break the symmetry, you need to introduce charges. So how do you introduce it in the model?
Well, yeah, we introduce in the model, we introduce a magnetic field. We introduce, for example, we make billiard, in which we make a particle moving in a billiard, non-symmetric, very strange billiard. We put two buts, we put a perpendicular magnetic field, and particle move inside, obeying the armor. They interact with the field, and they interact elastically with other particles. And we can simulate. This is how we do simulation, numerical simulation. And as I say, very surprisingly, we found that the Seebeck coefficient is symmetric in B. And we didn't expect this. And this, what is strange, it is crucially different whether you put a third but self-consistent, then you find that it is asymmetric. Because you would think that if the system is chaotic, the third but doesn't matter. But instead it matters, at least this is what we find.
So I've had an abiding question about low-dimensional thermoelectrics for a long time, and maybe you can help with this. My intuition tells me that if I could make a truly one-dimensional structure like people did for the quantum of thermal conductance,
yes,
and so forth, right, I can cut down on the degree of randomization because I'm losing, you know, right? So intuitively I say it should be more efficient because it can't randomize as easily, and that's the core of the Carnot limit. But my question then is, even if I could make a massively parallel number of these little thermoelectric channels that each individually in their own dimension have high ZT, as soon as I connect them to a three-dimensional reservoir that I have to use, say, to get the work that comes out, the current, the power that comes out to the real world, will I lose in that dimensional translation? Will I then suffer some inefficiency at that point? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, I'm not sure, because I don't know why, if you have one-dimensional chain, well, if you couple to two-dimensional, but why, if the chain is 1D, first, it's not clear to me why you think it's a problem, but second, I want to tell you that, well, chaos is, it is not true that it's bad. Actually, in the model I've shown, which is one-dimensional, in order to increase ZT, I need chaos. Because if I have an interval system, and you have ballistic transport, then ZT is equal 1. So it is not ballistic transport or interval system is no good. If there is chaos, is much it helps. Mm-hmm. It can help. But the point is that the connection is not so trivial, and this we don't understand. We don't understand what should happen in order to increase ZT. So it's not simply a question of chaos or non-chaos and so on. It's something else. And we don't know.
Last point I'll make just as a suggestion is, if you want to look at some of these high asymmetries and you know, playing around with the scattering, I think that my intuition tells me that to go to try to take advantage of non-equilibrium behavior is a way to so controlling that. And that's, again, a very abstract statement, but I think that there's some
non-equilibrium situation. And this actually numerical computation, we go to such cases. So the linear is only for the theory, but in numerical situation we try to go to. But it's important to try to build a non-linear theory in this phenomenon, which is more difficult. But and also in this case, you expect that there are different parameters to maximize, because the notion of ZT is meaning only in the linear response. So in the nonlinear regime, maybe it's something more. We don't know.
There was one more question.
The scattering centers, if you introduce scattering centers into the system, so is like it will be better? Will we get better thermal power? If I introduce a scattering
center.
So will it improve thermal power?
This is a question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is it like a good scattering center for this or bad scattering center? So can I intuitively choose
something? I don't have any intuition. I don't have intuition why I should increase the thermal power.
You can introduce anisotropy in the system.
Anisotropy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can choose where to inject anisotropy.
No, we did this, as I say. We tried to put anisotropy in different places. We tried different anisotropy, and we failed to find a non-symmetric thermopower up to now.
Okay, any other questions? Thank you.